Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cadila Healthcare Limited Q4 FY13 earnings conference call. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Executive Director of Zydus Group. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to our post-result teleconference for FY13. We have with us Mr. Pankaj Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Vishal Gaur, Senior General Manager, Investor Relations. The year gone by was a mixed bag of positive performances on various fronts and some challenges in a few areas. While we continued to perform well in the Indian formulation space, outpacing the market growth, our performance in Europe and the emerging markets also improved. Zydus Wellness also came back on the growth track with an overall improvement in the operating and net margins. However, our U.S. business continued to face challenges in the form of lack of new product approvals in spite of the resolution of the U.S. FDA warning letter, and also the price challenges on existing products. Our Brazil business also had challenges mainly from the external factors beyond our controls. While our JVs continued to grow, their margins declined due to the price erosion in key products. These challenges have had their impact on the overall margins and profitability of the company. While our long-term objectives and strategies remain intact, challenges in key markets may take some time to get resolved. We remain committed to putting in our best efforts to ensure that we overcome these issues as early as possible. Our continuous efforts on the cost optimization and margin improvement fronts have been further buoyed by the PRISM II program. New technologies like transdermals, biosimilars, and vaccines, where we have already made sizable investments, are also expected to contribute in our long-term aspirations. With that, let me share some of the highlights and numbers of the year gone by. On the India formulation front, we maintained our strong leadership positions in the cardiology, gynecology, gastrointestinal, and respiratory therapy areas and significantly outpaced the overall market growth of 12%. We restructured Bharathiram operations to set up a strong foundation for achieving mid and long-term growth plans. We launched over 90 new products, including line extensions, in India during the year, of which 21 were for the first time in India. Overall, our India formulation business posted sales of 23,232 million rupees, up by 23%. In the U.S. generic space, we launched 7 new products, including one controlled substance product from Nature. Of these, 4 products were launched in the last quarter. We maintained our rank of the 10th largest generic company in the U.S. in terms of prescriptions, with about two-thirds of the products marketed by us having leadership positions. We filed 33 ANDAs, including 8 for injectable products and 2 for topical products, which were filed for the first time with the US FDA, taking our cumulative ANDA filings to 173. We received approvals of 15 ANDAs, including 7 injectables, during the year, taking our cumulative approvals to 76. Overall, our U.S. business posted sales of 15,068 million rupees, up by 21% during the year. Coming to Brazil, we continued our focus on brand building initiatives and launched 2 new products, one in the branded and one in the generic segment. We filed 18 new product dossiers with the regulatory authority Anvisa, taking our cumulative filings to 100 and received the approvals for 5 product dossiers, taking the cumulative number of approvals to 39. we posted sales of 2,384 million rupees in Brazil. The business faced growth challenges due to the slowdown of certain critical government functions. Coming to Mexico, during the year, we filed 6 new product dossiers with the regulatory authority, COFEPRIS, taking our cumulative filings to 20. We received 3 new product approvals from COFEPRIS for the first time, thus paving the way for the Zydus launch of its products in Q2 of FY14. Coming to Europe, we continue to progress well in France on the back of the high growth of the French generic market, while in Spain, we continue to outperform the market growth rate. We launched 13 new products in France, including 5 day one, and 24 new products in Spain, including 5 day one, and 15 from India. We filed 25 new products, taking our cumulative filings to 161, and received approvals for 22 new products, taking our cumulative approvals to 112 for the European market during the year. Overall, our Europe business grew by 24% and posted sales of 3,697 million rupees. Our exports to the emerging markets grew by 66% and reported a sale of 3,134 million rupees. More than 30 new products, including several first in the market, were launched in the focused markets of Asia Pacific and Africa and Middle East during the year. On the Zydus Wellness front, Sugar Free is now back on the double-digit growth trajectory and continued to drive the overall category growth with a commanding 92% market share. We revamped the Everview brand with the launch of new variants of face washes and scrubs, the relaunch of Everview Men's, and a premium range of soaps. Scrubs and peel-offs continued to maintain their leadership positions. We also launched a premium variant of Neutralite with Omega-3. Overall, Zydus Wellness Limited posted sales of 4,100 million rupees, up by 19%, and a net profit of 971 million rupees, up by 43%. Amongst other businesses, our animal health business posted sales of 2,370 million rupees, up 22%, backed by 13 new product launches in India. Our API business registered a growth of 9% and posted sales of 3,099 million rupees. We filed 7 DMFs with the US FDA, taking the cumulative number of DMF filings to 114. Coming to our JVs and alliances, Zydus Hospira completed successful re-audits by the US FDA and MHRA and new audits from the regulatory authorities of Egypt and Tunisia. The JV commenced commercial production and supply of 2 additional products for the US and 1 product for the EU market, while additional products are being transferred from Hospira to the JV. Zydus Nycomed commenced production and supply of 3 more generic APIs for the validation batches and commercial supply of 2 more generic APIs to Nycomed. The manufacturing facility of Zydus BSV got audited and approved by the US FDA during the year. We commenced commercial supply under the Abbott deal with 2 products. We also commenced commercial supply of 3 injectable products for our partners for the US market. Our share in the sales of JVs and alliances stood at 5,070 million rupees, up by 20%. Talking about new technologies, we filed 1 more ANDA for transdermal patches with the US FDA, taking the cumulative number of filings to 3. On the biosimilars front, we already have launched 6 biosimilar products in India and now have applied registration for the emerging markets. We have started clinical trials for 1 MAB. We completed the construction of India's largest state-of-the-art facility for monoclonal antibodies. on the novel biologics front, phase I clinical trials have started for PEG-EPO and the rabies mAbs. On the vaccine front, we successfully completed phase I clinical trials for one viral vaccine. We also completed the construction of a new viral vaccines manufacturing plant. We have several vaccines in different stages of development, mainly preclinical, toxicity, and clinical studies. On the manufacturing and operations front, we received the U.S. FDA approval for our formulations plant at Moraiya for new dosage forms like injections and nasal spray in addition to oral solids. We have started supply of injectable products to the U.S. Product filings have been initiated for the U.S. market from our new facilities, namely ointments, creams, and transdermals. We also commenced commercial production at our Baddi plant for the U.S. market. Under PRISM 2, we ran an organization-wide program on cost optimization through multiple levers. We expect to improve our overall margins going forward with the implementation of numerous ideas generated in the process. Now let me take you through the broad financial numbers. During the year, on a consolidated basis, our total income from operations was up 21% year-on-year to 63.6 billion rupees from 52.6 billion rupees last year. Earnings before interest, depreciation and tax, excluding the impact of one-time grocery income received in the previous year, was up by 9% to 11,255 million rupees from 10,325 million rupees last year. Revenue spend on R&D increased by 30% to 4,705 million rupees, and R&D spend as a percentage to total income from operations increased from 6.9% last year to 7.4% this year. Profit before tax, excluding one-time grocery income, was up by 9% to 8,110 million rupees from 7,429 million rupees last year. Net profit, excluding one-time income, was up by 7% to 6,551 million rupees from 6,116 million rupees last year. Earnings per share stood at 32 rupees. The consolidated debt at a gross level stood at 29,219 million rupees, and debt net of cash stood at 23,398 million rupees. The consolidated capex for the year was 6,881 million rupees. Capex on R&D included in this was 495 million rupees. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and one. Participants are also requested to limit their questions to two per participant. The first question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I think I missed that. How many filings did you make this year in the U.S.?
We filed 33 NDAs, including 8 for injectable products and 2 for topical products, which were filed for the first time. And this takes our cumulative ANDA filings to 173.
Right. And you have 76 approvals, so you have almost like 100 products or 97 products awaiting approval, right?
Yeah.
And so what sort of approval flow do you expect for FY14? I mean, what sort of revenue growth do you think you should be able to do in the U.S. in FY14?
The number of approvals we expect in FY14 are 22.
And because that seems like a very precise number. What's the sort of growth that you expect for the U.S. business?
The overall growth that we expect for our U.S. business is 20%.
Right. And first, when do you expect the transdermals to really start hitting the market for you?
We expect the approvals to happen during this next financial year. We do not know exactly when this will happen, given the uncertainty at the FDA in terms of approval timelines. But we expect that approval, one of the approvals, should happen during this financial year. But it would be maybe towards the last quarter of the year.
Okay. And this final question on the Hospira JV, you talked about that you're transferring some products to the JV from Hospira side. So could you give us a sense into what, is this has the scope significantly expanded on this JV, and can we see growth coming back now? I mean, I guess the pricing pressure, et cetera, is already reflected. So can do you think that this JV can be significantly larger now with new products coming in?
See, for this year, for the whole year, Zydus Hospira, in terms of growth was not an issue, it was in terms of margins. So, growth is not an issue on the top line.
Okay. But because earlier it was six products, right? So now is this scope expanded?
Yeah, the scope has expanded with more products. So we expect to add 12 more products into the JV. And out of the three, the site transfer has taken place and more are in the process. We also have some further plans, but it is not yet final that we can announce it. But we have further negotiations on to actually expand additional products.
And so do you think the profitability will improve for this JV from here?
We don't expect the profitability to improve because of the fact that the ACE products where we have the high margin because of exclusivity is no longer in exclusivity space, and as a result, we do not expect the margin to improve. The products which we are now transferring are not the products where this kind of advantage is there, so there would be a lower margin.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. I'll join back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason Shah from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, just on the Hospira JV, would you say that the total JV business, would you say that the current quarter's turnover should reflect the bottom and from here we should see some type of growth?
That's what we feel, that we have reached to the kind of a bottom and we should see a growth now onwards from the JVs.
Right, and as far as tax rate is concerned, what's the guidance for the next year?
Tax rate? We expect around 15%.
Okay, and just last, on the emerging market business, can you just help us understand what's driven this type of growth this quarter?
Yeah, see, we had some very good business from three of the six markets, and most of them were from Asia Pacific, and one of them was from Africa and Middle East.
So you think this can this kind of revenue can sustain going forward?
Not to this extent, because as you would have heard me saying, 66% growth, but at least for the next 1 year, the going would be good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just one question on the R&D expense. This year you spent around almost $90 million. Can you give us a very rough idea that, or would I be too off in assuming that the spend on transdermal activities would be like, let's say, in an order of more than 20% or less than 20% of this amount?
I do not have the breakup in front of me, but so I cannot give you exact number.
But yeah, but in roughly, ballpark, would it be more than 20%, less than 20% of this $90 million?
No, I can provide this number offline and I
will
check the database.
Sure. Okay. So second question is on the Hospira JV. If I look at the growth X docetaxel, what would be growth like? Will it be like single digit or will it be double digit growth? Year on year on the fourth quarter?
It will be like double digit growth, but not significant.
Okay. And last question on the Azilstine approval. Last quarter, you mentioned that nasal spray approvals you expect in the US in FY15. So I was slightly confused that is that so you don't expect Azilstine approval in FF14 now?
I have, in fact, exactly specifically with this product, we expect maybe approval this year, but we cannot really give you a timeline, given that, you know, the currently the slowdown happening at FDA in terms of approval. So we are unable to give you a specific timeline, but we expect at least one nasal spray to be getting approved this year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Pathaparampil from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. In the U.S., you expect 22 approvals, but only 20% growth in the business. That sounds a bit too low for 22 approvals. Or are we expecting only very small first approvals?
Well, again, the approvals will happen, but then many of these approvals are towards the second, third, or fourth quarter. And that's the reason why we would not see much impact of those approvals in our top line number.
Okay. Could you explain the tax credit in the quarter? Why was not that credit being accounted for in the first three quarters and fourth quarter you took it, decided to take it?
The tax credit comes from the fact that, you know, we are in minimum alternative tax across our different company. And, you know, these tax credits are actually available for utilization at a later date. So based on actual projections, we have taken relevant portion of the tax credit, which we will ultimately get back as credit going forward, has been taken as tax credit. So this is basically the max thing.
Okay, right. And finally, the current EBITDA margins, are they more or less what we can look forward to, or is there any major jump that you expect in next year?
Sorry, I didn't get your question correctly.
The EBITDA margins of the company right now, the operating margins of the company, are they pretty much in line with where it should be, or do we expect any major jump in the next few quarters?
I think current margin, what you see, EBITDA would remain for few quarters like that, and it is contingent of approval of some key products, the margins can significantly improve.
Right.
Plus, our benefits which are accrued from Prism will start happening more in the next financial year, where you will see margin jump happening because of also saving coming out of the Prism exercise which we did.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'll jump back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirish Bakrul from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a question on the royalty income that has significantly increased this quarter. What has that been the result of?
Actually, last quarter we told you in the conference call that we did not receive the royalty from one of the products which in the USA, and that's why we had a lower number, that those royalties now been received. And that's why it's been accounted here.
So this is something which is going to sustain for some time, is it?
It is not, the whole amount is not going to be sustainable every quarter because of the fact that this royalty is of almost three quarters.
Okay. And on the U.S. side again, when you have launched one product again from Nesher, how is the outlook there in terms of additional products on control systems?
Yes, we have target to launch two more products this year from Nesher.
And this is included in the 20% growth guidance that you are giving, right?
For the year. Yes.
Okay, and just lastly on the emerging markets, is there again the shift for some of the partner supplies to U.S. which is booked in the emerging market sales?
No.
So this 103 crores is exclusive for emerging markets, is it?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Garg from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for taking my call, sir. So now since the NPPA policy has finally been notified, I just would like to understand that when they are going to, notify the ceiling prices, and after that, when do you see the actual implements in the market?
When they will do it, I don't know. So I cannot answer you exactly when the NPPA will notify. What we hear is that pretty soon they are going to announce the prices.
Uh-huh.
Exact dates are not known, and the once that they are announced, then the new price will become applicable.
Right.
And you also know that there is a clause of 45 days in that, so that is going to make sure that the price implementation will happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Market, and you may see some kind of impact on domestic market for 1 or 2 months because of that.
Right.
Of course, it depends upon what kind of basket is under the PCO, and only those kind of products will get impacted because of that.
Right. So, like in the document, they have indicated that the products which are under DPCO 1995, and you know, then the companies can take the price hike starting from June 13 onwards. Like earlier, the understanding was that you know, after 1 year of the implementation of the policy, only company can take the price hike. So, is it June 13 or after 1 year of the implementation of the policy, sir?
It is 1 year after the last price announcement. That's what I understand. But again, I am not expert on interpreting the law. You also can read the law as good as I.
Mm-hmm.
But my interpretation is that it is from the last price revision announced by NPPA.
That was May 12th.
Yeah, so date will be 1 year from there.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay. And so this is just the last question before you know, I get into the queue. How do you see now the Brazil market, whether those external factors have now you know, they have started improving, or you start seeing more approval coming from that market, or you are still seeing the similar kind of you know, issues which were there in the past?
We're talking about Brazil market. Brazil, the approval still are not seen. We are still we're not seeing approvals coming in as we expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only say that we are not yet very happy with the way the approvals are happening.
Okay.
Though there are signals that things will improve, but nothing concrete has happened yet.
Right, sir. And so one last question, sir. Like till last year quarter, we were guiding about 25-26% kind of tax rate, which now we are guiding about 15%. So what has changed, you know, while computing this tax rate?
A couple of things have happened, because I think one of the thing which is basically the net credit impact, which was missed out while giving the numbers last time, and when we realized that, you know, there is a net credit which we have to account for,
mm-hmm.
to the extent we can utilize in a subsequent year once the tax break goes away, and that is the reason why we believe that the actual tax rate will come down next year. And if you see, even this year, the tax rates have come down because of that reason.
So for next, at least for the next 2-3 years, the tax rate will remain in this range only?
Right, right.
Okay, that's all from my side, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Agarwal from MP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Yeah, my question is related to the filing of Asacol and Asacol SC. Recently, FDA responded to citizen petition that is filed by the Warner Chilcot court that generic companies have to do some additional clinical studies. So I just want to know how it's going to impact your approval for the Asacol and Asacol SC. And
we have completed those studies, so we are and submitted to FDA those studies.
So when should we expect the approval?
I can't comment about approval, because it's still very difficult to predict approval for a specific product.
Okay, and one more question, that is on Lialda. Recently, the court had validated the patent for the 720 patent. So I just want to know how it is going to impact on your launch in US.
Well, we believe that the case is distinctly little different than our case is different than the case of Watson. So we have a different ground, we believe, which should differentiate ourselves from the judgment which came in the case of Watson. We will know more once that litigation actually takes place.
Okay, sir. And how your progress is going for urokinase?
It's still very early stage. We have not made much progress, if I have to say. We are still negotiating with FDA about regulatory strategy, and we have not got yet full clarity on that. So once we have more clarity, we should be able to tell you. But at this moment, we have not made much progress.
Earlier, you have commented that you are going to relaunch this product in FY15. So, is it possible to...
We are still hoping that, but at this moment, since you asked me the question about progress, between the quarters, then in one quarter, there is no progress with respect to what was there and now.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Thakkar from CIMB Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. This is Prakash from CIMB. Just a question on your ANDA approvals. Did I hear this correct? You had 15 ANDAs, of which 7 were injectables, and you launched 7?
No.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So how many approvals you had and how many you launched?
So we had, you are asking about injectables, right?
No, total ANDAs approvals for the year?
Totally, ANDA approvals for the year were 15.
Of which 7 were injectables.
Of which 7 were injectables.
Okay, and you made a commentary before that 7 new products, of which 1 was controlled substance?
Yes, that is launched.
Right. Okay, and looking at your, in terms of Toprol, Excel, would that be from Kadila or from Nature, and when do you expect that to be in the pipeline?
Well, we don't know when the approval happened. It is from Kadila.
From Kadila, but any broad timelines, is it a fiscal 15 event or maybe later or could be earlier?
It's a fiscal 15 looks realistic.
Understood. And in terms of dollar sales, would you be able to give dollar sales for the quarter and the year?
I think Vishal, you can take this from Vishal. Vishal will give you offline because so much of data.
Understood. And lastly, on the tax credit, I think there is, you explained that because of MAT excess. Is this because of excess provision and now you are writing it back, or and you have not accounted it earlier?
We were only paying the MAT tax, but you have to take a credit because those MAT will be utilized at a subsequent date because MAT is allowed to be offset against the tax payment in future. So as we do in deferred tax credit and assets, this comes as deferred assets tax asset, and that's why you see the tax the credit coming here.
But
more specific, you want to understand, which I can explain you in much detail.
Understood. But going forward, when we see 20 plus products approved from US and the profitability increasing in dollar terms, so do we actually, you are again guiding for 15% kind of tax, but would that change?
See, our business model is different from many of our peers. So I think US, we have limited income. All the profits accrue in India, and that's why we expect the Indian tax rate would be a primary driving factor for our overall tax rate.
Okay, but MAT credit would be 18-20%, and you are guiding for 15%. Any clarity there?
So our overall tax rate will be 15%.
Okay.
So what happens is that compared to what we said before, 20% and now it is 15%, that 5% difference is happened because we have taken the MAT credit, which was not there up to last quarter.
And this you could take on for next couple of
years? This is required to be done because these are the assets which are actually going to be an asset available for use when we have to pay a full rate of tax.
And lastly, on India business wellness, you showed very good growth, but that was again on a low base. So what is the sustainable growth you expect on this business?
We are on track to achieve our vision, which is 500 crore by this financial year.
Okay. And India also, you expect around, 14-15% kind of growth?
Yes, we will do better than the market.
Okay, understood. Thanks, and I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of PHR Gala from Quest. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions. How confident are we about achieving our long-term objective of 3 billion sales by FY16?
We are on track as of today. Every quarter we will give you further things that are we missing at milestones. We have milestones for every quarter.
Yeah.
So today we are on our milestone as far as our 3 billion target is concerned.
Sir, if you see consolidated...
If the FDA approval process remains slow and a product approval doesn't happen,
yeah,
one of the key drivers for growth will be definitely U.S. approvals, and they don't come across, then we might have problems, but today we cannot comment about that because it's too early for us to say whether approvals are not going to happen.
No, subject to that, what I wanted to know was that in FY13, our consolidated turnover and other operating income is around, say, 6,500 crore. And even if we take, say, 54 rupee as a long-term exchange rate, 3 billion means we have to reach 16,200 crore, which implies CAGR of 35%. So are we confident that the approvals that are awaited in U.S. can give that kind of huge turnover going ahead?
The exchange rate today is 56. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. Neither you can tell me, neither I can tell you.
Yeah.
We cannot move our target up based on the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm.
So our... basically, this number, when we decided for 3 billion,
okay,
we assumed the exchange rate of dollar at 44 rupees a dollar.
Oh, 44.
Yeah. So this 3 billion was based on 44 rupees a dollar, and we are basically chasing that.
Okay, I understand.
In fact, you know, this is very difficult for us to say what is going to be the number. When we decided the number, the exchange rate was 44.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate. And
I cannot move my rupee target on a continuous basis because it's going to be...
I understand. Okay, sir, another question is, now you talked about that ceiling prices might be announced soon. What could be the negative or positive impact on our company on the domestic formulations business as a result of that?
I think our domestic business should have a reduction of approximately 2.5%.
Okay. That is in terms of turnover.
In terms of turnover. And
and that will flow to bottom line also.
Little lesser number in bottom line.
Okay, okay. Apart from that, sir, what are the major challenges do you look forward to? Like, one is that approvals are not coming from the U.S. market and the price challenge. Are there any other challenges that you are looking forward to?
No, we do not see any other challenges.
Okay, okay, fine. And, sir, last question. What will be your capex in the next year, FY14?
We expect to be around 600 crores.
Again, 600 crore, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it will be mainly for the capacity creation?
It's mainly for the capacity creation.
Okay. And thereafter, do you think it can plateau down or still we will require 600 crore type of...
It should be going down.
It should be going down. Okay. Because, you know, we are spending much more than what depreciation we are.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monica Joshi from Avenda Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just wanted to understand how your profits and your profitability actually shifts across markets. So particularly taking the base of your company level margins, how essentially is the European market and the U.S. market placed? And in the next 2 years, where do you see that going? I know you have the risk of delayed product approvals, but if things go the way you planned, how much do you see will the improvement in profitability across these two, particularly these two markets, shift or move?
Our profitability improvement will happen mainly by increase in U.S. Sales and mainly driven by launches of newer products. That's what we expect. So I do not have, you have a very long question, Monica, so it's very difficult for me to comprehensively answer that. I'm happy to basically sit with you and Vishal can do that to really explain you the whole thing, but in this call it will be very difficult for me to really specifically answer the specific detail in the question. But suffice to say that our margin improvement can happen because of two factors. The one factor is the U.S. Product approvals and sales, and the second is improvement on margin by cost reduction in India.
Sure. So if you can, leave the U.S. part aside, because that becomes extremely dicey as far as your approval go. But you have seen a reasonable traction, I would say, on the European side. So you would be more comfortable in those markets. So how comfortable are you in improving your margins in France and in Spain? Because I believe that can be...
We have seen margin in France and Spain are improving. Given the fact that our business is going at a good pace, and also a lot of product transfer which happened to India has also brought down the cost of goods. So going forward also we see that the margins will remain, will further improve as we move forward. So that will contribute positively. So some of these markets where lower margins were there, they're improving and that would impact. But you have to understand two-thirds of our business comes from India and US, and these are the two markets where our margin improvement would be mostly driven by.
Sure. And barring the pricing policy, you don't see your margins in India actually under any threat?
Sorry?
Barring the impact of the pricing policy, you do not see a threat to your India profitability?
Absolutely. You are absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening everyone. A couple of questions. One is, sir, what is the growth in India formulation, excluding biochem, for the quarter and the full year?
The quarter, it would be same because biochem was also there last year for the full quarter.
Okay.
For the entire year, it was about 16%.
16%. Okay. And second question is, has the FDA inspected our nasal facility and transdermal facility?
Nasal facility was inspected last year and approved.
Okay.
The transdermal facility is not yet inspected.
Okay. Any indications when they could come?
We expect next quarter maybe.
Okay, okay. Because I thought this was supposed to be inspected sometime in February or March.
Yeah, we got a message and then they had to postpone because of some other urgent inspection.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vinay Sariwala from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Sariwala, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. Wanted to check if the excise duty reversal has come in for Zydus Wellness sitting plant this particular year.
So it is mainly because in Zydus Wellness, Sikkim plant, the production has been higher than sales this time. So that is why, and the excise credit which we have accounted for is the normal excise credit and not the higher excise credit, which is for which we have made a claim, but we have not even allowed by the authority.
Sorry, I could not get.
If you could take up offline with Vishal, he can explain you this more in detail.
Sure. And second point was on the credit that we've taken on alternate minimum tax. If you could throw some light on it.
Yeah, no, see, you pay, what is alternate minimum tax? It is the tax which you pay, but it is credited, it is available for future tax payment as credit. To the extent one is seeing from the projection that you are able to utilize this credit, you have to take a tax credit also for that after payment. So that's what has happened now. For the first three quarters, we did not provide for that. So all the provisions have been made in the last quarter.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Krishna Prasad from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone. I think to an earlier question you had mentioned about the transdermal facility inspection during the current quarter, you mean in May or June timeframe, or will it be the next quarter?
We were expecting, I mentioned in our earlier question also that we were expecting the approval, the transdermal inspection, but in fact we received some inspection, but however because of some urgent inspections, they postponed the inspection and we expect now that to happen next quarter.
And you mean next quarter, meaning July to September quarter?
That's right.
Okay. And as far as U.S. launches are concerned, would you think Asacol is an approval that we expect during FY14? Would that be a fair assumption to make?
Very, very difficult for me to say that whether this approval will happen in FY14. It's very difficult. We don't have clear visibility today to even tell you that when exactly this will happen. We are trying hard to get approval soon, but we don't know exactly when. If we are closer to the approval, we will definitely let you know that we are going to likely to get approval. But today I do not see that time.
Sure. And as I look at the raw material cost for the current quarter, and I mean it's possibly the highest level that we've had in the last maybe 4 or 5 years now. I mean, how do we really look at this now going forward? I mean, do you think this is the this is the gross margin levels that you would have for maybe another couple of quarters, or?
I think you would have this kind of situation, and it's mainly driven by higher cost costs at US and at our joint venture, particularly Australia.
Right. So we would continue to see that at these levels
before we take off additional sales in US.
Right. So additional sales in US is really more second half.
That's true.
Okay. And when you say EBITDA margins would remain at this close to 18% levels that we've seen this quarter, are you really talking about including the impact of pricing policy, or?
Yeah, I think including the impact of pricing policy.
Right. Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just two questions. Can you give us the cash tax rate? You've taken a credit, but what have you actually paid as a cash tax rate for this FY13 of the year?
Vishal, can you provide that number?
The cash payment would have been more than 90 crore. I mean, more by 90 crore compared to what you see in the P&L. So it would be roughly 220 crore rupees.
220 crore rupees. And just the other comment you made on Lialda litigation, is the next hearing date set, or what's the update on the case? I mean, I don't see any update on the case for a very long time.
The hearing dates are not finalized yet. We were required to submit some additional data to FDA, which is being submitted now. And once that is there, the dates will be decided.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. The question is regarding Zydus Wellness. Given that we are on track to achieve 500 crores next year, what is the next target for us, and how do you see this company shaping?
Please wait for a while. We'll let you know.
Good. Okay. Of the $3 billion that you're targeting for, say, Cadila, how much of it would come from wellness?
You are indirectly asking me the same question, so...
Yeah, you would have planned.
We are going to give you a guideline. We are going to basically... we always do this. Once we reach closer to our vision milestone, we would announce our next vision milestone, and we would be doing that in the third quarter of this year.
Okay, fine. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sridhar Dati from Anand Dati. Please go ahead.
Hello. Basically, one question on the other operating expenses that we have seen that it is very low. It is around 32%.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, basically, my question was on the other operating expenses, which is basically as G&A expenses, which is more or less around 32% this quarter, lowest in the past 2 years, from the average of around 30 to 35%. Any particular reason for the same?
So, in the last quarter, we have made certain regroupings when we made the financial results for the entire year. So you would have observed that even in third quarter also we have removed certain other expenses. So, and that is the kind of run rate which was there for last 3 or 4 quarters.
Okay. So basically going forward, we can expect like now this is basically the base kind of thing for the gene expenses.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Your voice is not very clear.
No, basically, just wanted to check that this is going to be the base in terms of SG&A expenses going forward.
Yes.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. This is Anirudha Joshi. I just have some questions on Zydus Wellness. So, can you please indicate, we had a very strong quarterly number this time. So, actually, which brands are doing better? And can you just update on that? And also, what was the volume growth as well as price-led growth in case of Zydus Wellness per se?
Overall, all the brands are doing well.
Okay.
I do not have exact breakup of price and volume growth. I would request Vishal to provide you that.
Okay, but can you just give the highest growth? Is I guess probably in case of Sugar-Free, and the lowest growth is in case of Nutralite. Is it right or?
That's okay. That's right.
Okay, and have you taken any price hike recently on any of the brands?
No, We have taken some price increases, and as I told, which I have to provide you the information.
Okay, and this, regarding this change in income tax treatment, so so that will now the tax, the MAT credit, it will get booked on the balance sheet. Is it right?
It would be routed to P&L only. So if your question is on tax rate for guidance wellness,
yes.
The current annual tax rate is indicated for your future.
So roughly we can assume the tax rate will remain to the extent of 10-11% only. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, and very lastly, you know, we have seen sharp fall in raw material prices, like palm oil as well as packaging material prices are also lower. So do you see the profitability in institutional sales of Nutralite as well as retail sales of Nutralite have gone up substantially over there?
Not significantly.
Or have you passed it on to the end consumers?
Some part of it goes to the customer as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sir. That was my question. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Annette Fernandez from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My question is, again, lastly, with respect to Zydus Wellness, specifically the Everyouth brand. What I observe is that post the brand relaunch, the MRP prices have moved up from 65 rupees all year on to almost 95 rupees. Is my understanding right on that?
You are asking too much specific questions, and it will be impossible for me, as chairman of the company, to answer a specific question. Unfortunately, the manager also is not here. So maybe Vishal can provide you those specific information.
Okay.
So because everybody, if you have some specific questions, please do take up with Vishal. He'll be happy to provide you information. If there are more strategic-related questions, then please do address, ask me the question. I would be able to answer.
Okay, sir. Let me just rephrase this. I just wanted to understand whether we are whether we would see incremental margin improvements in the Zydus Wellness going ahead post the brand relaunch of Everyouth.
We do not see a margin improvement going forward.
Okay. And I'll take the rest of the questions up with Vishal then. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, only one last question can be taken. Last question will be from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I just want to know, how do you see ramp-up in Bayer JV products in India, and how many products have you launched?
Last year we did not launch, I think, new product in BLJV. We would be launching maybe this year a new product.
So how many products are expected this year? Hello?
Two products we are expecting to launch in BLJV this year.
Okay. And sir, just want one clarification. How many products have you launched in India, which you have told earlier? You have launched around 19.
We launched more than 90 products, including brand extension, during the last year.
Okay. And how much were day one products?
Day one is first in first on the market. We had something close to about 20 products, which were day one.
Okay. And in emerging markets, you have launched 30 new products, right?
Zero, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Ganesh Nayak. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and look forward to interacting with you again during the next quarterly telecon in the month of August.
Thank you. On behalf of Kerala Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.